Thanks, Cindy. You might note there's a little bit of a difference in the title from what was advertised, but it's fairly slight. Looking at three different crop rotational systems in Iowa and nutrient concentrations in soil water at the base of the root zone. My co-author is Matt Liebman. He's been running this experiment since 2001, and my piece of it's been fairly small. I'll try to go over the some of the basics of the setup of the experiment, but for more detailed questions, I might have to refer you to Matt. Let's see. And pointer. Is there a pointer?
Use
this guy here. Okay. There it is. Okay. So if you're familiar with the cropping systems of the Midwest, you know that it's dominated by the corn and soybean rotation, in which grain is shipped off farm for consumption by livestock. And you probably also know that there's issues associated with this production system in terms of water quality, soil health, biodiversity, and such. But if we look at kind of altering that system to take care of some of those side effects of it, we look at diversifying into third and fourth crops. One of the alternatives we might want to look at then would be to decentralize our livestock production, have livestock production integrated at the farm scale so you can consume, have the grains produced, consumed on the farm, but also be able to incorporate third crops a little bit more efficiently, especially forage. Forage as part of the rotation. And so we're looking at comparing here nutrient concentrations in soil water in three rotations with the idea that we're looking at integration of livestock at the farm scale. The experiment has been going on for 10 or 12 years, and there are a number of endpoints that have been looked at relative to this experiment, a lot of them having to do with use of off-farm resources, mineral fertilizers, pesticides, energy use, and there's also been a fair amount of work on soils, changes in soils in these systems as well. But if you look at what the literature says about nutrient concentrations and nutrient losses under different cropping systems, we do know that perennial forages have much less nutrient loss beneath the root zone than annual crops. There's been a couple of good papers around the turn of the century that showed this very well. But if you look for rotations that include perennial forages with grain, there aren't very many examples out there, and most of them that do exist don't go past a single rotation. And there's the canwar as an example is one of those. All these studies have basically only looked at the movement of nitrate. We considered phosphorus in this experiment as well. And if you look at comparisons of cropping systems for subsurface movement of both nitrogen and phosphorus, there's only a few examples out there. There's a few European studies. There are a couple in the Midwest that have looked at corn and soybean rotations. That Hernandez-Ramirez paper is a really good one that looked at continuous corn with corn and soybean rotations and different sources of nutrients, but there was no diversification of the rotations in that study past corn and soybean. So our objective to compare nitrate concentrations and the frequency at which phosphorus was detected at the base of the root zone in these three different cropping systems. The context, again, is to look at the risk of nutrient losses and comparing that between conventional corn and soybean rotations and alternate systems that integrate livestock at the farm scale. And in both of these systems, we're looking at also being very careful about our nutrient management in each of these systems. So this is the experiment. It's near the ISU agronomy farm and close to Boone, Iowa. There are four blocks there, each with nine plots. You see the plot size there is 18 by 85. and it's been going on since 2001. I mentioned some of the other endpoints that this that are being looked at in this experiment, and there are some of the publications that have been put out on that. A lot of the details of the experiment and the measurements are in that Davis and the public, the PLOS publication as well. And so here's a photo of the plots from the ground and a little bit more detail on the rotations we considered. Corn and soybean for cash grain, a three-year rotation, corn and soybean followed by an oat and red clover seeding in the third year. The oats were harvested. The regrowth of the red clover was plowed under as a green manure in that system. The four-year rotation, corn and soybeans, and then oat and alfalfa. The oats were harvested, and alfalfa may have been harvested that first year as well, but then there was a second year of alfalfa production. The alfalfa and the clover were plowed down on the same date in each of the rotations in November. But note that there's a lot more biomass production from the red clover than the alfalfa after a fall harvest of forage on that alfalfa. Okay, so we've got three rotations involved, and the experiment was set up to consider each entry point in each rotation. And so you can see there, two entry points for the two-year rotation, three for the three, four for the four, adds up to nine. And we do have nine plots in each block. And so you can see two two-year rotations in white, three three-year rotations in yellow, and four four-year rotations in red on each of the blocks. A little difference as well, considering that we're looking at application of commercial fertilizer on the two-year rotation, but then being able to utilize manure in the three- and four-year rotations with the livestock integration. And so in the two-year rotation, we had 112 kilograms per hectare applied to corn. And then there was that was followed by soil testing, and there may have been sidegrass and according to those soil test results. In the three- and the four-year rotations, the legume residues and manure were plowed down in November prior to the corn. Nothing was applied at seeding, but there were also soil tests and the option to add commercial fertilizer in the three- and four-year rotations in the corn year if there had been a lot of movement of nutrients below the surface. If we had a particularly wet spring that would move some of that nutrient out. And so here's just a photograph that would be applying the manure to the alfalfa late in the season, right before plowing that down. Not a very heavy application of manure, but that's kind of what it looked like there. And so what were the nutrient applications averaged over the 2003 to 2011? You've got the three graphs. In each of the three graphs, you've got the three rotations and the amount of nutrient applied. On the left is nitrogen and then phosphorus. And so you see in the two-year rotation, there was more commercial N applied. In the three- and the four-year rotations, less nitrogen was applied total, and most of that came from the manure source there. In the phosphorus, less phosphorus applied in the two-year rotation because of the manure and the high or the relatively higher concentration of phosphorus in the manure. So a little bit higher phosphorus concentrations or additions in that system. The one of the things, one of the benefits of the three- and the four-year rotations is the buildup of soil organic matter, a little bit more cycling in that system. And one of the things you see there is the addition of N fertilizer was a lot less in the three- and the four-year rotations, but also notice that as the benefits of that system took hold, that since 2007, there's only been commercial fertilizer added 1 year through 2012. So what did we do to look at the soil water concentrations at the base of the root zone? We installed ceramic cup suction samplers in two plots for each treatment in two of the experimental blocks. We didn't have the resources to do all 36 plots on here, and we did want to represent the better drained soils at this site in this first phase. We've since then have added some monitoring in the more poorly drained soils at the site as well. So we installed in 2003, started monitoring in 2004, and I'm going to be reporting on 8 years of data from the 12 plots involved in our monitoring. We did biweekly sampling from spring thaw until midsummer. At that point, usually what was happening is the crops were withdrawing the soil moisture and we weren't able to get water from the suction cups, but once the fall rains came, we would start sampling again. We had a total of 69 sampling dates over the 8 years. And so that's a photo or an image then of which plots were monitored in the system. And so to look at then the results, this is looking at average annual concentrations for each treatment. And so there's two rotations in the corn, and let's see if I can, whoops, page up. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go one more. Okay, one more. So I'm showing you all the results here all at once. So the top graph, there's two rotations, two entry points in each of the three rotations included. You've got average annuals, so 8 points for each of the three rotations. You can see the stars indicate when we saw average annual concentrations less than 10 milligrams per liter. There were a total of 8 cases of that, and 5 of those occurred in the 4-year rotation. Okay, now to break that down a little bit more, across the top there you see the 2-year rotation, then the 3-year rotation, and the 4-year rotation, and the bars show the concentrations for that year in that rotation. And you can see kind of the sequence of concentrations we saw at the base of the root zone going through the 2 and the 3 year rotations. What I'm going to break down then is going across is to look at the significant differences among years within rotations, and then I'll look at significant differences for the corn and the soybean years across rotations. And so the soybean had significantly less nitrate concentration than the corn. Corn leaves a lot of residue, and the decomposition of that residue takes up nitrogen, and so less of it moves down to the bottom of the profile. In the 3-year rotation, the small grain and legume resulted in very small concentrations of nitrate at the base of the root zone. But because you had a lot of plow down of that green manure, you see fairly high concentrations of nitrate during parts of the corn year and then through the soybean year. And then in the 4-year rotation, there were significant differences among all four. The second year of the alfalfa, very little nitrate ever detected. And that benefit seemed to extend then into the corn year following that. And then the third lowest then was the establishment year of the alfalfa, and the highest concentrations of nitrate in the 4-year rotation were under soybean. So then looking at comparing the seasons for the corn years, there you can see the lowest concentrations in both spring and summer occurred under the 4-year rotation. So the benefit of the alfalfa extended through the corn year the following year. And one of the things you see is following the soybean year, the soybean crop seems to prime the system to move nitrate down into the bottom of the root zone the following spring. And so after soybean in the 2-year rotation, you can see that the highest concentrations the next spring among those rotations occurred in that 2-year rotation. But with the plow down of the green manure, that biomass eventually got mineralized. And so you see in the summer of the of the 3-year rotation under corn, that's about the highest concentrations of nitrate that we saw in the experiment. I'm out of time, okay? So in the soybean rotation, I'll do this very quickly. The soybean had the lowest concentrations compared to the 3 and the 4-year rotation. And so this is the window in the 3 and the 4-year rotation with the greatest risk of nitrate loss is during the soybean year. Basically, for phosphorus, what we saw, non-detectable concentrations were most frequently observed, but we did see a difference in that they were less frequently observed under the second year of alfalfa and then the following corn year. So both the second year of alfalfa and the corn year in the 4-year rotation had significantly lower nitrate concentrations and detection of phosphorus in the soil water. And so we know that legumes decrease nitrate losses below the root zone, and we've got evidence here that that benefit can be extended in rotation to the corn in that 4-year rotation. And there's also evidence of benefits that carry on into phosphorus as well. So these results show that they don't show loads, they only show concentrations, but diversified crop rotations, if managed carefully for nitrogen or for nutrient management, can reduce subsurface losses of both phosphorus and nitrate.
And that's
Thank you, Mark. Yep.